over again in the Bible. It refers to God's truth as mysteries, as secrets, as treasures. And I'm not sure exactly why that is. Mysterious. Why mystery? Why secret? Maybe it's because it's so deep and so intense, you can't give it a simple one-sentence description or even a simple book description. Maybe it's a mystery because there are people or forces who are trying to come against it and trying to squash it, and it has to be mysterious, like a code has to be mysterious, so that the wrong people don't hear about it or the wrong forces don't hear about it. Maybe it's just because it's so vast and so intricate that it can only be described using figurative language. Today we start the journey called the kingdom. And if you want simple answers, today is going to frustrate you. Because the kingdom isn't as simple as 4 times 4 equals 16. It's not all that linear. Over and over again, the scriptures, it's called a secret. It's called mysterious. It's called a treasure. Very first thing God does in the beginning of the Bible is He establishes a world. He establishes an earth. He puts two people in it to govern it, to be His ambassadors. This world, sort of a kingdom. And then it goes south. Enemy forces invade it, and it goes south, and there's bad stuff that starts to happen in our world. And we see throughout the rest of the Bible, God sets up nations to have them have influence. God sets up families. And then Jesus comes along, and Jesus starts talking about kingdom, the mystery of it, and the secrets of it. And He uses poetic language over and over again. He doesn't give a simple description of it. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet. The kingdom of heaven is like... These pictures start to come into focus. Today, we start in our journey. It's going to last six weeks. And what we want you to do today is we want you to sit. We want you to process. We want you to open up your heart and mind to things you might not have thought of before. And we just want to get the mental and the spiritual gears going without any simplistic answers at the end of our time. We want to see if you encounter a secret, encounter a treasure, and even a glimmer of a way that might start to have a profound impact on your life. God, and this is what we pray today. As we sit, as we ponder, as we think, as we process, and as we receive from You, and that's what we want. We want to get things from You. That's why we're here. We do. We want things that we don't have right now. Whether that's knowledge, or that's love, or that's feeling, or that's direction. We come because we want You to pour something on us. And so we pray that we would sense Your love, and we would see what You're doing in a new and unique way.
The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in his field. His enemy also came along and sowed weeds in his wheat field. Everyone said, "You have to get the weeds out now." But the master said, "No, we'll wait until both are full grown. Then we'll destroy the weeds and harvest the wheat." The kingdom of God is love.
The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. It's the smallest seed there is, but when it grows up, it's the largest tree in your garden and becomes a place where the birds of the air can come and find shelter. The kingdom of God is love.
The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man finds it, he covers it up and excitedly goes and sells everything he has just so he can purchase that field. Because the man knows a secret. The plain-looking field holds a great treasure. The kingdom of God is love.
The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. The kingdom of God is love.
The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. One servant who owed him many lifetimes' wages threw himself at the master's mercy. "Don't sell me into slavery," he begged. "Just give me patience and I'll repay you somehow." The master had pity and canceled that man's debt. That same servant, though, found a friend who owed him less than one day's wage. He grabbed him and began to choke him, demanding, "Pay back what you owe me." Like he himself had done, his friend begged him for patience and mercy, but he refused. Instead, he had his friend thrown into prison. Other servants saw this exchange and, in their distress, reported it to the master. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I've had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. The kingdom of God is love.
The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He said that he'd pay them a day's wage and sent them to work. He hired men at mid-morning, noon, and late in the afternoon, and guaranteed to pay them each a day's wage. When evening came, the workers were paid according to their contract. Those hired last were paid first, a day's wage. When the first men hired came for their pay, they expected more since they'd worked longer. When they were paid according to their contract, they grumbled against the landowner. "Some of these men only worked 1 hour, and they're being paid as if we're equals." But he answered them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a day's wage? I have the right to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. You're angry just because I'm generous. The kingdom of God is love."
The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He announced that it was time for the banquet, but those invited wouldn't come. So he sent his servants specifically to those invited. "Tell them we're ready," he said. "The tables are full of meat. Come to the banquet." But those invited paid no attention and continued their business as usual. Finally, the king said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Just go out into the streets and invite to the banquet anyone you can find." So they gathered anybody available, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests at last. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. So the king told the attendants, "Tie his hands and feet and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." The kingdom of God is love.
About Sting, who wrote that song, but what I do know of him I don't know anything about him that tells me that he reads the Bible a lot or he places a high view on who Jesus is, and that doesn't seem to be a part of what he's about, yet he writes a song like that. A song like that that fits right into what Jesus describes the kingdom as. Why is this? See, very few of us understand the kingdom, but all of us want the kingdom because it's been planted in us. This desire and understand that there's something beneath the veneer. There's something that doesn't meet the eye. There's something else. There's some wave. There's some spirit. There's some world. There's some being. There's some something that's happening. I can't quite put my finger on it. And there's different terms for it and different phrases. As the scripture we looked at earlier, it's the secret. It's the treasure. It's the mystery. I don't know why it's called mystery. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because it's unlinear. I don't know if it's because it's so deep there's got to be metaphors. I don't know if it's because there's people who want to squash it and so therefore it's got to be mysterious. I know this, is that if today you're looking for a simplistic answer and a simplistic formula, you're going to leave frustrated. Because deep things, mysterious things, significant things, important things can't be reduced to soundbite. In fact, they can't even be reduced to a 40-minute message, even if it's somebody as awesome as myself giving it. It just... That's a joke. It just can't happen. That's why we're on a journey for 6 weeks to discover the kingdom, encounter it, experiment with it. God, this is what we're asking that happens. That our appetite is wet today, that we start to see and sense, we start to experience. Help us today. Well, we're going to be doing a lot of experimenting, a lot of things to figure this out. And again, don't look for conclusions at the end of this time. This is a 6-week journey. We are bringing the whole church together to go on a journey that's multi-sensory, engaging, tactile. We're really, really very excited about this. And one of the things that we've done is sent a couple people out in a big black van trying to figure out where is this secret kingdom? Who's the king of this kingdom? What's this whole thing about? And while we take a look at that, we're going to have ushers come down and we're going to have bags. If you're newer today, you don't know what's going on around here. You're confused. That's okay. Just let that thing go right by you. Don't feel any obligation to give. We're excited you're here. For those of us who have been around, we know this fuels life change in this place and in our city and all across the globe. And it's one of the ways that we're about the kingdom, which is partly about generosity. So feel free to participate as we take a look at this. We got to recognize right away that we're at a disadvantage to understand what kingdom is because we don't have any real world examples of kingdom is. Well, what do we think of kingdom? We think of something whimsical that's a marketing campaign, or we think of something that's just totally juvenile and fun and kitty-like, like Mickey Mouse and the Magic Kingdom. Or obviously we just saw Burger King. We think of Burger King in the kingdom. Or we think of people who are impotent and have no power like the royal family and just serve as figureheads until they do something sexual that puts them in the tabloids. And that's a farce. That kingdom, that kingship, the royal family, that doesn't make any sense to us. Or if there is somebody who actually has real power and authority, they're not somebody we should aspire to. Idi Amin, you know, Forrest Whitaker in the movie that's out right now or about to come out. We don't understand this kingdom thing. We're at a major disadvantage right now. That's why when we thought about what we're going to call this journey, we spent hours talking about it. We thought, well, should we call it Secret World, the ultimate reality, the secret realm? We talked about empire, like there's this thing that's growing and advancing, like one of those stories that we heard up there. It's really weird. Jesus talked about there's this mustard seed that's planted and it'll grow and be a tree where birds of the air feast. It's weird. It's a mystery. How does some like little itty bitty seed like planted grow? And that's a mystery. That's weird. That's strange how it happens. Like how does Jesus call together 12 guys, also known as 12 losers, 2,000 years ago, on the other side of the planet, this little seed, it shouldn't have been anything, and 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years later, on the other side of the globe, thousands of people are meeting in a multi-million-dollar building. That's weird. That's crazy. That's mysterious. There's nobody else that's ever done that in the history of the world. So I thought maybe it's empire, like this thing that's growing, and maybe it's ultimate reality or the secret world or the secret. Why kingdom? Well, it's because Jesus kept talking kingdom. So finally we thought, well, no matter what it is, we have to describe it, and then we have to describe why Jesus called it kingdom. So it's called kingdom. See, they understood though why it was kingdom back in those days. Because the pervading overall influence on their world, the ultimate reality, the thing that governed everything, the world in which people lived, the ultimate power structure was the kingdom of Rome. Rome was everything. It was the entire known world. It was the entire power. It was the military power. It was the transportation system, ran through the transportation. It was the economic system, ran through all of their economics. Even if you were a Jew and your religion was supposed to be separate from Rome, they still had their fingers into your religion or into the leaders of that religion. So when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, same thing, he's saying, I am coming to bring an overall pervading influence, a secret kingdom, a thing that's operating beneath the radar screen, but is very real and tangible to overthrow and overcome all in this world that isn't the way it should be. He's a king. You might remember Christmas, magi or wise men, they come and they're looking for, they say, the king of the Jews. Where is the king of the Jews? Where is he? He's just a little baby at this point. Then bookend that with the other end of his life. He dies on the cross. And out of mockery, the Romans put a sign above him on the cross that says, King of the Jews. His life is bookended being called a king. And his realm goes beyond now Judaism, beyond Jewish people first century, even extending to this part of Cincinnati. Even extending to some people who are in here. Not all people, but some people. It's a realm. It's a reality. See, all of us have a realm that you live in. All of us have a kingdom. All of us have something that is the most important thing to us and is through which we process every decision. Some of us in here live in the kingdom of body beautiful. And the king for you is your yoga instructor or your personal trainer. And you just think about everything you do. You think about how to sweat off 5 more pounds or gain a couple more pounds of muscle. Some of us, the kingdom, the ultimate realm, ultimate reality for us is family, and everything trickles through family. And you know, and so what is the authority? Whatever Hallmark says a family should look like, or some other such thing. For some of us, the kingdom we live in, the reality that we live in, is money. It's finances. And who's the ultimate, what is the king? It's maybe our checkbook, or it's the Wall Street Journal telling us what to do, or it's something else. There's all these different kingdoms, and every kingdom has a king, has an ultimate authority that gives instructions and gives directions. And Jesus, he wants to be our king. Jesus wants to be our king, and when he does that, your kingdom gets obliterated. Your world gets rocked. The biggest frustration I see people have is they think they can get kind of a little Jesus in his life, add a couple principles to their life, and everything is fine. That's not the way his kingdom works. It's an all-encroaching, all-invasive thing that comes in and breaks up your world. It's like love. It comes and breaks up and loves on it and builds up. Jesus told people what he was going to tell them. He told them, and then he told them what he told them. I think that's what it was. Yeah, and as I say in speech class, tell them what you're going to tell them what you told them. The very first thing he speaks as a teacher, the very first thing he speaks when he starts talking about what life is about is this, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. He says, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The very first thing, this is the thing that he was about. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. What he does right before this is he actually undergoes a training experience. We're going to look at this today. It comes from the book of Matthew chapter 4. It's a training experience. Everything that's important to you, whatever kingdom that you're in, there was some training or preparation period you went into before you got to that. So if you're really loving your job, well, everything is important actually. If you really love your job, you went through some training before you were able to do your job. If you're, you know, really into running marathons, you were in some boot camp experience or some training experience for months where you were running. If you are really into the stock market, you did some deep dive into understanding how the market works and how trading is supposed to operate. If you're, whatever it is important to you, there's some training period you went into in order to succeed in the kingdom in which you reside. And Jesus went through a boot camp where he was prepared and trained to succeed in talking about the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. And it's 40 days of difficulty in which he undergoes. And I could talk about this story that really happened, and I could give you 50 different things I see in this, but I'm just going to give you 4. Let's take a look at what happens here. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And now, you know, devil, now what is all about? Let me tell you this. You're going to have more questions today than you have answers. I just want to tell you, it's okay. If you walk out of here, your head spinning, that's okay. The purpose of today is to make you aware of things that we're going to wrestle with over the next 6 weeks. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Duh. I think so. I mean, Sometimes the Bible's like very simple to understand. Sometimes it's really, hello, of course he's hungry. Yes, yes, he's hungry. I would be too if I went 4 hours without food. The tempter came to him. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Interesting here. We're going to start to see what the kingdom looks like because we're going to start to see how our king is prepared. The kingdom is going to come into and out of focus over the next 6 weeks. And here it starts to come in focus because we see that Jesus is a different kind of king. Kings that we know of, or ultimate authorities, or people who are the top of the chain, they always get their needs met. If there's a famine in the land, their table is stocked. If there is a war, an army taking place, they're back in the castle while all the other peons get slaughtered. That's the way it works in our world. The more power you have, the more insulated you are. The more power you have, the more perks that you get. In Jesus' kingdom, as a king that he operates totally differently. He's a king who goes without. Why is he not having food? Why is that? In fact, the evil one comes and says, hey, here's stones. All you got to do is turn these stones into bread and you can have your needs met. Don't go without. You deserve it. You have the power. You have the authority. You have spiritual mysticism. All that. Just give yourself something to eat. And Jesus is sending a signal to himself and everyone else that I am a different kind of king. I'm a king who goes without. Why would you go without? You're a king who goes without because you love. Anytime you go without, on purpose, intentionally, it's because you love. You love. You know, if you love your kids and you want them to go to college, or if you want your kids to go to college and you want to pay for it, you go without. Why? Because you love. If you love your body, if you love dropping your cholesterol, you go without cheese curls. If you love being in part of your own business and owning your own business, you go without buying things that other people buy because you're saving money to have a business. Anything that you love, anything that's important to you, you go without. And so the kingdom may be starting to come into focus. It's going to come into focus and out of focus. It's like those magic eye things. You ever seen those magic eye things? You know, you look at these things and you kind of blur your eyes and you got to hold it at an angle. And I don't know if it works when you're on a screen or not. I don't know if it works. But let me just save the trouble. Whenever you look at these things, it's always one of two things. It's always frolicking dolphins or flying unicorns. It's never anything else. Just one time I like to look at it and see a tank. Or see Carson Palmer or Pamela Anderson or see something in there. I like to see Carson Palmer riding a tank over Pamela Anderson. That's what I see. Sometime when I do it. I would just like to see it. You know, it comes in, it goes, I lost it. That's kind of what the kingdom is. You see, you look, you're wondering, what is in that one? Let's see what's in this one. And we kind of did some magical things. Let's go to this one. Yeah, that's that one right there. That's an interesting one. Or how about those pictures when you look at it and you see one thing, but there's something else that you don't see that all of a sudden comes into focus? How about that one? Like some of us are seeing it, some of us aren't seeing it. Some of us are seeing an old woman, some of us are seeing a young maiden looking away. And then all of us see it, all of a sudden you see it, and the next time you watch it, you'll see it because your eyes are now trained. You'll begin to see it. This is the way the kingdom works. I've been seeing the kingdom recently because I've been looking for it, because it's secret, it's mysterious. It isn't necessarily front and center. There's a few ways I've seen it. A friend of mine was talking about a bridge where he lives by, and there's homeless people who live under the bridge. And he knows a guy who's a deer hunter, and he goes and chops up his venison, makes venison stew, and serves this to the people who are living under a bridge. That's love. So I heard that. I said, wow, I saw it. I saw it. There's something about, I just saw the kingdom. Something beautiful there. There's something loving. There's something transcendent. There's something that is not normal about that. I haven't thought about that. Got an email and finding out about a woman who got kicked out of her house and her three kids going to be homeless, got kicked out and didn't necessarily want to go to the shelters because they were going to be extra jam-packed because it was so cold and therefore extra unsafe. And so wondering where they could stay and trying to get a plan together, and then find out that a friend of hers who serves here, is a volunteer here, who was in a similar situation not too long ago, has a small place, said, you just come and live with me. You just come in. You live with me. It's like, I saw it. I just saw it. I saw it. It's beautiful. It's It's transcendent. It's loving. It's the kingdom. I have a friend of mine who has another friend of his that is into him for tens of thousands of dollars. It owes him tens of thousands of dollars. And people are telling my friend, you need to do something about this. You need to, you know, file something in court. You need to attach a lien to something. You need to, while you have leverage right now, you need to do this because this guy walks. That's his history. He will leave you high and dry. And it makes total sense for my friend to start doing that. But he said to me, I can't do it. This is my friend. I feel there's something else going on there. And I need to sit and love on him and figure this out with him. As he told me that, I realized, I see it. So it just popped in. I see it. There's something transcendent. There's something loving there. Jesus is a kind of king who goes without because love mandates that we go without from time to time. So the evil one loses this one. The tempter loses this one. He isn't able to get Jesus off his mission. So he goes to another one. Here's what it says. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said. By the way, this is great. If you are. He's really, if you're a guy, I can't help but read in my guyness into this. He's like challenging his manhood. If. You know, if he's doing a challenge, you know, if you're the Son of God, if you're divine, if you're really special with God, if you're the Son of God, then throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your feet against a stone. And Jesus answered him, well, it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He's testing him. He's tempting him with validating himself. You see, if Jesus doesn't overcome this validation test, then he's going to be about himself and not the kingdom. Jesus is a different kind of king. He's a king who isn't about himself. Sometimes just to get under staff member's skin, they'll say they have this idea. And I say, oh, Kenya, are you good enough to do that? And they're like, it's a kind of funny thing. It's actually not very funny for them, but it's funny for me. I'm trying to just kind of do a joke, kind of just jab at a little bit. You really think you can do that? You know, are you good enough? It's sort of that challenging thing. Because there's a sick thing inside of all of us that we want to validate ourselves, whatever that looks like. We want to validate ourselves before other people. And so the tempter is asking Jesus to validate himself. Hey, if you're really this great, just throw yourself down. Just do this. Validate yourself. Jesus is a different kind of king. He doesn't have to validate himself. It's not about him. It's not about him. It's about the secret. It's about the treasure. It's about the underall pervading influence that's sweeping across the globe. Guy told me this last week that he's got a 17-year-old daughter, and his daughter is dating somebody that their family doesn't approve of, has morals and values that are different than they've been trying to teach their daughter, doesn't have a relationship with God as they've tried to bring their daughter up into. And so friend has just been praying, God, you just take this guy away. Just make him move. Make him not like my daughter. Make him like drink tainted Pepsi. Just something. Just take this guy away. Well, not tainted Pepsi. I added that one. Just make this guy just go away. And then 4 o'clock in the morning, he had a dream and he woke up and he realized something awful had happened. And that is that instead of he should be praying for this guy to leave. He should be praying for God to come into his life. He was using all of these words and all this worries trying to get him to leave as opposed to getting God to come and transform his life. And he was broken and he wept for hours, sweating, realizing the hardness of his heart and how he was into himself and how he just didn't. And as he told me that, I went, I see it. I see it. The secret kingdom was doing something in you. I see it. I got it. Another guy I know, he's got a massive multi-gajillion dollar house in another state. And it's just one of these palatial deals. And found out that he had a group that was staying there from a church, and they were doing a planning meeting and everything there. And I thought, that's really strange. You would let people who you don't know into your place to live there while you're not there. Because I've been to this place. It's the kind of place where if you bump into something and knock it off, you've knocked your mortgage off. It's just broken. And I think, well, how could you do that? You're away and they cook things and there's fires in there and it's just crazy. And realize the reason is because he doesn't view his house as his own house. It's God's house. God owns it. It's kingdom asset. He gets to use it and he lets it allow it out. It's not his. It doesn't own him. It's not about him and his possessions. And as I process it through, I saw it. I saw the kingdom. Or the church that was stolen from recently. You hear about this one? The church that was stolen from? And they found the guys who had done the stealing, and they actually came to the church and confessed, and the priest forgave the guy, and they brought him up in front of the whole church, and they loved on him, and they prayed for him. I read that, and I thought, oh, I see it. I see it. This church isn't about themselves and their possessions. I saw this is the kingdom, and it goes into focus and out of focus. But once you get it, once you lock into it, your life is transformed, because Jesus is a different kind of king who will rock your kingdom. He will rock your world. He will obliterate it and usher you into a reality that's something like you could never understand until you feel it and see it and in it. Satan takes another whack at him. It's kind of like the rule of threes in advertising. There's always the rule of threes. You ever tired of, and how about, well, there's three temptations here. And here's what happens. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You notice here that Jesus is quoting every single time the Bible, because this is the constitution for his kingdom. It's the constant, and that's how he overcomes this. And Satan takes up the high place. I don't know if it's sort of just a vision that he gives him, or if it literally takes him, he stands the thing, he sees the whole thing, and Satan says, I will give you all of this. And he really can give him all of this. Jesus refers to the evil one, the Satan, the tempter, Lucifer, the devil, whatever you want to call him. He refers to him also as the prince of this world. This world is not run by God. It's not run by God. It was intended to be run by God. That's why God put Adam and Eve in this world to take care of it, because Adam and Eve people, we are God's governors, we are his ambassadors. And then we forfeited that because we did things we shouldn't have done and basically handed it back over to the evil one. That's why things go bad in this world. I'm not amazed when things go bad. I'm amazed when things go good. The fact that there is cancer, it's not a fact that there isn't a loving God. It's a fact that this world is broken because it's owned by a force that's operating the way it shouldn't be. Every time I hear about cancer, every time I hear about some rampant disease, every time I hear tsunamis, every time I hear tornadoes, every time I hear broken relationships and broken marriages and adulterous affairs and kids that OD, and every time I hear of markets that crash and people who go into poverty, and every time I, all these things, I'm reminded, okay, this world is not operating the way God ever intended it to operate. And he's starting a revolution. He's bringing a king to gather a group of people that brings love and turns the world the way it should have been in the first place. And so when Satan says, I'll give you this all, he says, you can have this. It's mine to give you. You can have all of this right now. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. You can have it right now. Jesus had to be thinking, this is interesting. No hanging around 12 annoying guys. No doubters and skeptics, no religious people who give me grief, no nails in my wrists and beatings. And interesting. Boy, this is a different kind of king, though. Why? Because this is a different kind of king who serves God. He's a king who's not serving himself, who's not serving his own interests. He says, the scripture says, serve the Lord your God. Jesus is a different kind of king because he serves God. He honors him. And he knows his constitution, and this is where he gets his marching orders. As I was thinking about kingdom, and I'm learning about the kingdom just in getting ready for this week, and I'm going to know more about the kingdom in 6 weeks than I know right now. I don't have it all figured out. I'm seeing things I never saw before and sensing things I didn't sense before. And this is one of the things in preparing for today that some light bulbs went off with me. I've noticed that whatever kingdom that I'm in, I read things that are associated with that kingdom. I voraciously read things associated with that kingdom. So Jesus was voraciously reading this because he wanted to be about the kingdom of God. I'll tell you some of the kingdoms I've been in. I thought about this the most recently because someone put a motorcycle magazine into my inbox. And I said, where'd this come from? It was something called like American V-Twin. See, I have this kingdom that I really like to be in. It's called the Kingdom of Harley Davidson. I just love this kingdom. I love reading things about bikes. I love like thinking about my bike. I love buying things to snap onto my bike. It's fascinating. And I found out this magazine came. I said, where'd this come? And they told me in the waiting area, they've been getting this magazine, but people keep stealing them. And then whenever they last for a month, now they'll just kind of give me the old ones because they're all read out. I'm going, oh, awesome. Well, tell me something. Let me see it first, and then you put it in the reception area. So let me see it. And I read this thing voraciously, cover to cover. I love reading. And that's what I realized, man, I always read things that I love. I read things about that I love. Remember when I was living with my parents, I went through this thing where I went into the kingdom of bodybuilding. Thank you for not laughing too much on that. I went into this thing and it was really weird, really weird. I saw it not too long ago, this old picture that my parents took. I actually took my mom. When you're in a kingdom, you do crazy things for that kingdom's welfare. And I did crazy things like I took my mom out in the backyard with a camera and I did poses and had her take pictures of me. I was in front of a pine tree wearing a Speedo bathing suit and had her just like clicking. And the funny thing is I saw these pictures and I really thought I was all that. I really did. I saw, oh man, what a bad, bad, bad. But I remember that phase. I read Bodybuilding Muscle Magazine. I mean, just devoured. I wanted that information. I wanted, I would devour it. When I've been in a kingdom of lust, there's things I want to not maybe read, but look at. There's things that I want. Well, if that's your thing, if sex is your kingdom, you fill your mind with it. You go place where you can get it. You come under the authority, under the written material of that stuff. When I've been in the kingdom of leadership, when I just wanted to lead and wanted to be seen as a good leader, I made sure every new thing on the New York Times bestseller list was about leadership I got. Read Harvard Business Review, I got. Am I saying there's anything wrong with Harvard Business Review? No. Muscle Magazines? No. Or American Chopper? No. All I'm saying is, whenever I've been in love with the kingdom or a realm or a reality or an overall focus of life, there always goes with it the immersing inside of material to read about and come under its authority. And Jesus knew this thing. That's why this can be part of our journey, is reading things and being immersed in things outside of here so we can see an authority. At the end of Jesus saying no to all these things, he goes to the end of 40 days. There's a very interesting and disturbing verse to me. It says in verse 11 that then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. I don't like this. This shouldn't be the way it is. It should have been, and angels were with him for 40 days. And that's why, he endured. No, it's after. After he goes to the testing, after he goes to the tempting, after he goes to the difficulty, then he gets spirituality. Man, if I'm Jesus, I'm going, hey, angels, like, be food and jump in my throat and fill up my stomach. I want angels right now. I want angels, like, breathing their spiritual blossom breath on me. I want to smell them. I want angels telling me, hey, you're the man. You're good. You're the man. God loves you. God loves you. I want angels doing that. But he's tempting. He's experimenting with this kingdom. He's doing battle. And then afterwards it comes. This is why this is going to be a full-on engagement for us for 6 weeks. We're not just going to sit in here and hear me or somebody else talk about the kingdom. You have those books that you got when you came in. You're going to be able to read those, process those. And in the groups, you're going to be out experimenting. You're going to be out doing things. Because it's not in just hearing words that you understand the kingdom. It's in doing, in engaging, in testing, in experimenting, in being hungry, in doing things that you don't want to do. So at the end, you're a person that you want to be. Being in situations you're uncomfortable in, so at the end, God is comfortable with you. Encountering things you've never encountered before, so that you can encounter the uncounterable and have a sense of spiritual power about you and love about you that you'd never known and seen before. You're going, is that? I never heard of that. That's why it's a secret. That's why it's a treasure. That's why Jesus calls it hidden things. If you haven't heard of this thing, you're not crazy. You're not crazy. Jesus goes out, he finishes boot camp. He finishes the testing. Angels are ministering to him. He's feeling pretty good. And the very first thing he says is, look out again, see what gives us perspective now. The very first thing he says is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now here again we have a word that doesn't help us. Kingdom doesn't help us in our modern democratic society. And also the word repent doesn't help us. Because when I think of repent, I think of the guy who's standing on a corner, hasn't taken a bath for a while. He's got ripped clothes. He smells and he's yelling obscenities at me, telling me if I don't repent, I'm going to go to hell. And he has no love about him at all. When I hear the word repent, that's what I think. But I don't think that's what Jesus is doing here. I don't think that's what he's doing at all. I think he's excited. He sensed angels. He sensed something happening in him. And he's calling some people to something higher than themselves. I don't think he's saying repent. I think he's saying Change. I'm excited about this. It is right beside you. The kingdom of God isn't here because you're not in it, but it's near. It is there for the taking. That is the way it is for many of us. We have glimpses of it. We have tastes of it, but we're not in it. We don't sense it. It's near. And Jesus said, I'm excited about this. I'm not going, na, 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 you're not in. I'm saying, it's close. It's because I'm excited about, I'm inviting you. This is a different kind of king. He's a different kind of king because he invites us. He doesn't squash us. He doesn't kick us. He doesn't handcuff. He invites us in our freedom. He's a kind of king who invites us to be a part of the things that he's a part of. I go out and I see people who are parking in the parking lot with stuff, and I go, "Ooh, man, someone's invited them." I see it. I see the kingdom. I see people lining up to be hosts and don't even know what the heck it is, and get a box. They have no idea what's in the box. Why are they doing this? Why are they letting strangers in their home? Because there's a kingdom. Something I see it. They're being invited. I see it. Stephen, you got a song for us, and as I said earlier, we didn't want today for all of us to like sing a bunch of things and just declare things through singing. We want us to sit and start to be hit with the stimuli that Jesus wants us to have and start to process this. And this is one thing we're going to sort of sit under. Tell us about the song, why this is relevant.
Yeah, well, we're going to be looking at the whole kingdom thing from this aspect of mystery, and that we have to acknowledge that we don't really understand it, and that we have to have Jesus repeatedly describing it to us for us to get a clearer picture of what it's about. And something that's really mysterious to me is that the Bible verses that are in this song is a description of a God that I don't much understand. You know, you understand the creator of the universe telling you to act right or he'll kill you. There's something about that. Yeah, I could get that. But if this writer says, my relationship with God feels like the relationship between a sheep and a shepherd, that's confusing to me. That's mysterious. How could that possibly be? How could I have a relationship with the God of the universe in that close of a way? So there's something really mysterious about this. And it reminds me that Jesus is a different kind of king and he has a different kind of kingdom. So we're just going to sit in that tension while I sing this song.
So God, we ask that you would touch us in a mysterious way right now. Chuck, come on up. Most important part of the day, perhaps.
You know, Brian, one of the things about kingdom is that it's going on here, but it's also this global thing that's happening elsewhere. And we're joined today by somebody who's doing kingdom literally on the other side of the world. We're joined by the CEO of the AIDS Hospice that some of you have helped to support in Mamelodi, South Africa. So please join me in welcoming Patricia Nachlina, who's with us
Patricia!
Today.
Patricia!
Yes!
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 We also have somebody else here
Absolutely,
today.
Absolutely, yes. Actually, Patricia has been in Cincinnati for the last 2 weeks working with Steve West, who's also here. Please, Steve, if you would stand.
Everyone say hello
to Steve. Recognize you as well. And Steve West is the CEO of Hospice of Cincinnati. And so Patricia has been here working with the leadership of Hospice of Cincinnati to share best practices and create a best-in-class hospice.
Let me just spell this out because you're going to see kingdom here. I saw it just this last week. I understand. You know, we go out and we kind of build this building. Buildings are easy or easier than running things that are in the building. You know, so this, you know, AIDS Hospice goes up and they're trying to make it better every day and do the things that are right, but it's a hard gig. And somehow, Hospice of Cincinnati gets hooked up with them, the most respected such organization in the city, maybe the state for that matter, or country, the world actually, all under Steve West's leadership. And I don't even know how it happens, but I'm in a meeting where Steve is there and talking about how to do fundraising for this thing over there and mentoring Patricia. And I'm going, well, how does that happen? I saw it. It's a kingdom. I don't understand it. It's mysterious. It's weird, but it's pretty awesome. It's awesome. So thank you guys.
It is. Yeah. We're just glad to have you guys with us today. So just awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. And so as Brian said, the kingdom comes kind of in and out of focus. And one of the things we know is if you think you're going to sit in your seats and get it over the next 6 weekends, even if you don't miss a weekend, it's just not going to happen. There are so many things that we want you to do and we have to do to really engage on this journey. One of them is this. When you walked in, you got a guide like this one. This is my kingdom guide. And this is something that it really is like your field experiment guide. You need to be bringing this every week. And you're going to have an opportunity to take notes in there based on what you hear on the weekend, but then also engage in the content during the week.
And yeah, Jesus was, for 40 days, Jesus was in this temptation thing, and we're on a journey that's going to be 40 days. We're going to be experimenting. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tested. And this is your manual to give you some instruction. Take notes. Bring it every week. Take your notes in here. If anything's said that's worthwhile, journal with it during the week. This is your field guide for the whole experience.
Absolutely. And then along with that, the other thing is connecting with other people. So that is when we pull out the black box. How many hosts are here? People just opening up their home to strange people or strangers, I should say. Hosts in the house got this black box.
Yes, and one of the things I just found out, I accidentally opened this last service, but I was told, yeah. Everyone going, that's right. No one should have opened this box.
So, Brian, obviously you didn't go to host training.
I did not go to host training. No, I didn't. I should have. But there's also sealed things inside of this. So if you go to if you go to your group and this box has been opened or anything inside of it's been open, you just tell the person you lie, you cheat, you scum. You just tell them right that. There's things in here I don't know, and I've chosen not to know. There's things that I'm experiencing as it goes on. And this is why we said you're going to have to be with people and do this or you're not going to get it. You could take the easy way and just play church and you're not going to get it. I'm just telling you that. You want to play church? You're just not going to get it. You're going to have to be engaged in this and make this a priority. On the other end, I think you're going to see and sense and experience things you never thought possible.
Absolutely. And the cool thing about our community here is there are probably folks in here who are just hearing this kingdom thing for the first time and are saying, all right, cool, I'm with that, but how do I get plugged in? So if you're one of those folks or if you're a typical maybe last minute type of person here, it's not too late to get plugged into a group. There are actually four ways.
Normal. If you've waited to the last minute, you're normal. So
that's
go
true.
Ahead.
Yeah. That's true. The first thing you can do is go online. Go to kingdomexperiment.com. There are groups literally meeting all across the tri-state area. So maybe you want to get plugged in closer to where you live. Go online, check out a group that way. The other thing is, here at Crossroads, tonight at 7, we're having launch night. And this is going to be kind of a planned but somewhat random opportunity for, you know, maybe you're a guy and you want to get plugged in with some guys to go on this journey, or a woman, or maybe you're a couple and you're looking to plug in that way, or just be in a mixed group. But we're going to be here at Crossroads at 7, plugging people in. And I know there's some hosts, too, that maybe have posted online, and you've got space. You've got some room in your home. You can come tonight and connect with people who are looking to plug into a group. So that's another way you can get into a group to go on this journey. We're also going to have on-site groups. So Wednesdays from 7 to 9, no RSVP necessary. Just show up, kind of come with your guide, and you can engage that way. So we're really trying to create a lot of opportunities for people to go on this journey, because to really maximize it, you need to be with other people. The final thing there is pursuit. And this is for the 20-somethings. This is another opportunity to plug in. You don't have to go through pursuit. If you're 20, you can engage with another kingdom group if you want. But this is just another way to connect. And I know that they're going to be meeting here at Crossroads Thursdays at 7 p.m. right across over in CSM. And I think they want to continue to engage even beyond the kingdom series. So a lot of opportunities, a lot of ways for you to get connected. The other thing is, and I know we talked about this, this building is open. This building, as we say, is not the church. So we want to open up the building.
6 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day from like now till forever.
Absolutely.
Until someone, you know, does something stupid. You'll just be here. Want to meet here as a group. You got a business. You want to have a business meeting here with free Wi-Fi and couches. Great. If you're a mom, just wants to let your kids play. Doesn't matter if you go to church or not. This is a kingdom asset. We want to use it to be a blessing and be a love tool.
Which is great. Which is great. So, hey, I'm excited. So, two big things. Number one, make sure you get a guide and get in a group. That's it for me.
Hey, no inspirational ending today. The journey has begun. See ya. Bye.